Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Senator Lisa Murkowski is criticizing President Donald Trump for his comments following the neo-Nazi march on Charlottesville. Alaska Public Media reports that in a Facebook post Wednesday night, Murkowski says, quote, "What the president said yesterday was wrong. There is no moral equivalence between those who are inciting hate and division and those who took to the streets to make it clear that those views are unacceptable," unquote. Murkowski joins a number of fellow Republican senators who say the president should have taken a harder stance against the white nationalists. This morning, Trump issued a series of tweets blasting his critics and lamenting the removal of Confederate statues from American cities. Murkowski's first response to the Charlottesville violence came Sunday when she condemned bigotry and anti-Semitism without mentioning Trump. Imprisoned former Fairbanks militia leader Schaefer Cox had an appeal hearing yesterday in federal court in Anchorage. Convicted in 2013 of conspiracy and solicitation to murder government officials, as well as weapons violations, Cox is serving 26 years in federal prison. Before he came under investigation, Cox was a young, up-and-coming conservative. He ran for state house and spoke charismatically in Alaska and the lower 48 in support of Second Amendment rights and ratcheting back government to constitutionally defined powers. Here's Cox in a 2010 interview with KUAC.
The oldest and most sacred tenet of American constitutionalism is to not trust government, but to bind them down by the chains of the Constitution. You got to trust people. And you got to have high respect for people and let them run their own lives.
Cox's trouble with the law began with weapons misconduct and domestic violence charges, but it was his command of a small Fairbanks militia, their accumulation of weapons, and alleged plans to kill government officials that drew a federal investigation. Evidence against Cox included a hit list of targeted officials. Federal prosecutor Steve Scrocky told the three-judge Ninth Circuit Court Appeals panel that by purposefully skipping a state court appearance, Cox laid a path that would ultimately lead to going after people on the hit list with a plan called Two for One.
We're going to kill two law enforcement officers or judges or federal officials for every one of us that's taken or kidnapped. And that came right on him. He owned that.
Two for one was not, if two for one starts, we kill people. It was a proportionate response. So if I get arrested, we arrest other people.
Cox's public defender, Michael Filipovich, says there were no agreements or specific plans to kill and that any action was premised on a government collapse and Stalinesque martial law or a confrontation with a federal hit team Cox was convinced was out to get him.
That, I would respectfully suggest to the court, is not an agreement with premeditation and malice aforethought to kill any one of these individuals.
Filipovich challenged that the lack of specific federal targets undermines federal jurisdiction to even prosecute Cox. A large portion of the half-hour hearing revolved around Cox's conviction of soliciting other militia members to commit murder. Judge Richard Clifton questioned Prosecutor Scrocky about whether lack of specific plans to kill individuals undermines the solicitation conviction.
I can understand why a conspiracy claim, because once you've launched a conspiracy, there is risk emanating from that. But solicitation suggests you've got a specific target, and if there is no real target there, isn't that a problem?
Your Honor, I don't think it takes it that far. I don't think it takes it that far that you need to have a real specific target.
Judge Susan Graber questioned whether Cox would need to be resentenced if the solicitation conviction is thrown out, noting that the sentences for conspiracy and solicitation were ordered to be served concurrently. Scrocky said he had not looked into the issue. The judges accepted the appeal for consideration before moving on to other cases. About a dozen Fairbanks schools will be getting air quality monitors this fall. It's part of a borough initiative aimed at protecting children and gathering data. As KUAC's Robert Hannon reports, borough managers want to have the monitors in place by October.
The chair of the Borough Air Pollution Control Commission, Kathleen Hook, shared some good news with the borough school board Tuesday. Between 10 to 12 air quality monitors will be set up in North Pole and Fairbanks Elementary Schools. Hook says the devices will beam air quality conditions from the schools to the web.
And what this data at the schools will provide real-time information for that school to help make decisions on activities at the school.
Hook told the school board that the best part of the program is the setup and maintenance of the equipment won't cost the district a dime. The reason for that, says Nick Czarnecki, is the program is run by the borough and state. Czarnecki is the borough's air quality manager. Both state and local entities are scrambling to respond to the EPA's determination that the borough's fine particulate pollution is a serious breach of regulations. Czarnecki says, funded by a borough ordinance, the Air Quality Working Group determined a set of priorities.
Number one is to provide select elementary schools with local real-time PM2.5 data for decision-making.
Czarnecki says the program will not only give school leaders information on what outside air quality is, but provide borough and state researchers critical data. Czarnecki says the plan is close to being finished, and high-quality monitors will be deployed in more than 10 elementary schools.
What we're doing is we're going through and making sure that all the proposed locations that we're able to site the monitors there, and we're also out to bid for a contractor that's going to be servicing the monitors at those locations.
Czarnecki says if all goes well, the monitors will be up and running by October. In Fairbanks, I'm Robert Hannon.
And I'm Dan Bross.